Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the nature of God was recorded at our 2009 Raleigh-Durham Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You can be seated. I tell you, we got such great salvation. If we really understood what God had provided for us, there's no reason for you to be upset. There's no reason for you to be worried or anxious about anything. So what if there's an economic slowdown? You know, if worse comes to worse, you're going to live in a mansion on streets of gold forever and ever and ever. If the doctor tells you you're going to die, if you had Paul's attitude where he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, it'd be all you could do to keep from just reaching over and kissing the doctor. I mean, we sing about when we all get to heaven, what a day that'll be. And then the doctor tells you you're going and you start crying. You know, we ought to be focused on, it doesn't matter what happens. If I win, I win. If I lose, I win. I can't lose for winning. Boy, God loves you. If you would think about that, how could you be depressed? Depression is just people that have taken their minds off of Jesus, the author and the finisher of their faith, and they're looking at their circumstances and problems. But you can always turn around and look at what God has done for us, and there's just no reason to really be upset over anything. Amen? Amen. Praise God. You know, we are the people who have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, believe in miracles. I was testifying about these great miracles. We believe that God does great things. And you would think that we ought to be better off than people that don't believe in miracles. But in some ways, the average Spirit-filled person is more discouraged and more hungry and looking for something than some of the denominational people that don't believe God does miracles. They aren't expecting anything, so they aren't discouraged. They're getting just what they're believing for. But when your faith increases and your expectancy increases, the Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. And if you don't experience the fulfillment of those desires, then you can be discouraged because you haven't gotten over your cold yet, whereas other people don't even think about it. They just go take a pill or something and don't even, it doesn't bother them. We've got the potential to be discouraged because we are believing for so much. But at the same time, we've also got the potential of seeing God come through. And we just need to really press through and get to where we're walking in the abundance that God has for us. Let's turn back over to Psalms chapter 85. This is the scripture I started with last night. We continued on this morning. Psalms chapter 85, verse 10, I just use this one verse that says, mercy and truth are meant together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Charlie and Jill sang that song tonight. And last night I spent the whole night just trying to show that these are polar opposites. That mercy and truth can't coexist. Because if you really know the truth about a person, if you are completely pure and holy, the way that God is, and if you're faithful and just, and if you cannot lie, how could you ever have mercy on a person that doesn't deserve it? It's not equitable. It's not justice. Righteousness and peace could never meet together. They could never come together. They could never kiss each other, because how could you have peace towards a person that is guilty? These are opposites, and I'm saying some things. I've said some things last night and this morning that are radical, radical statements to the average Christian. Things that most of them haven't heard, but it's straight out of Scripture. And the wrath of God is revealed under the Old Covenant primarily. There's a lot of things. I'm saying this very quickly, but it's to show you that you can't save yourself. It's to show the ungodliness. You know, one of the problems that happens is that when sin begins to multiply, it says in the last days that the love of many would grow cold because iniquity would abound. You know why that happens? Because when iniquity abounds, you start seeing people having parades and bragging about things that the Bible says are abomination. you start seeing people, you know, in church, the divorce rate is just about the same as outside of the church. You start having all of these things, and you get to where after a while you just lose your reference point to what is right and what is wrong. One of the purposes of the Old Testament was to show people that you think you're good. You think that you're just looking around and comparing yourself among other people, and you're taking an average and thinking, well, I'm about as good as anybody else, and so I think that God's going to accept me. If he accepts anybody, see, most people believe God grades on a curve, that he's got to accept somebody. Somebody's got to pass. So even though nobody really had a totally passing grade, God's going to take the top 10 percentile and you get to pass. It's going to be based on your works. And so this is how most people evaluate things. I'm not the best. I haven't done everything right, but I'm not the worst. I don't dip or cuss or chew or go with those that do. And I believe that God is going to accept me. That's deception. We have moved so far away from what God intended us to be that God had to readjust our perspective. He had to bring us back to what right and wrong is. And so God said, you think you're holy. You think that you're good enough. You think that you are going to get in because you haven't killed somebody. See, this is exactly what Cain did. Cain killed his brother, and instead of God killing him, God gave him mercy. So Cain's great-great-great-grandson came along, and he killed a man in self-defense. All of this is listed in Genesis chapter 4. And he felt like his murder was more defendable than Cain's. And so he says, if God avenged Cain sevenfold, he's going to avenge Lamech 70 and sevenfold. God didn't say that. What he was doing was comparing himself. And he says, Cain killed a person, and he didn't fall over dead. God didn't judge him, so it must not be so bad. And people's standards begin to fall to where they were just living in sin and doing things and living terrible. And God was extending mercy to people. For 2,000 years, he didn't judge people the way that we see after the law was given. But finally, God had to remove this deception from us. And so God started saying, you do this and you die. Thou shalt not. And he started giving commands. And what it did was bring us back to, whoops, you know what? I don't care what my society says. I don't care who got by with what. This is what God says. And all of a sudden your conscience came back alive. And you begin to realize that I've fallen short of the glory of God. And it's necessary to come to that place so that you quit trying to trust in yourself and your own goodness. You have to come to the end of yourself. So the Old Testament law revealed the wrath and the punishment of God. And most people have misunderstood this. Religion has misunderstood this. And they preach that this is the way that God is, that God is angry. I've actually had people come up before and say that they saw God as an old man with a long beard leaning over a rail in heaven with a lightning bolt in his hand, just waiting for you to do something wrong. And bam, here comes the judgment of God and the wrath of God. You'll hear preachers often say this, that if a person leaves our church and if they don't do it for the right reason, they're going to die. God's going to kill them. They aren't going to prosper, and they'll do all these kind of things. And it's wrong. There were examples like that in the Old Testament, and there was a period of time that God did that, but the purpose was to show you that your sin had separated you from God. But that's all prior to Jesus coming. When Jesus came, he totally allowed righteousness and peace to come together, mercy and truth to meet together. He brought this together in himself. And I used a bunch of scriptures this morning. I'm not going to use all of that again, but turn back over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and let me just start here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that is, to know that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. I spent a lot of time about this morning. That the way God reconciled us, made us friendly, brought us back into harmony with him, was he didn't impute our sins unto us. The word impute means to put on the account, to record against you. God doesn't hold sin against you. But it's not that he just says, all right, I'm going to quit thinking about sin. No, God is holy and just, and sin has to be judged. And so it's not that he just says, all right, I'm going to not hold sin against you anymore. What he did, he had to punish sin, but he imputed your sin to Jesus. And Jesus suffered for your sin. And if Jesus suffered for it, you don't have to suffer for it. Jesus didn't just suffer for your sins up until the point that you got born again. And then every time you sin after that, you got to get it under the blood and re-forgiven. And you're just constantly in limbo about whether your relationship with God is good. Because have you got every sin confessed? Is everything dealt with? Are you doing everything that you should? No, according to the scripture, I'm not going to teach on this tonight, but according to Hebrews chapter 9 and chapter 10, Jesus forgave all of your sins, past, present, and even future sins have already been forgiven. He wiped out all of your sins. Somebody says, now how could he forgive a sin that I hadn't committed yet? You better hope he can forgive a sin that you haven't committed yet, because he only died for sin one time 2,000 years ago before you were born. God dealt with all sin of all men for all times, and your sins have been wiped out. And he imputed your sin to Jesus. Jesus suffered what you should have suffered so that you don't have to suffer. And if you are suffering because of sin, well, then you're voiding what Jesus did. And it says this over in Galatians chapter 2. It says righteousness come by the law, which is talking about if you could earn right standing with God through your own actions, then Christ is dead in vain. It says in Galatians chapter 5 that whoever of you is trusting in the things that you are doing, Christ is without effect unto you. Christ is dead in vain.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the nature of God. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Raleigh-Durham Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM236 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The third CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the third teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111. Or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Remember, your donations to this ministry keep Gospel Truth on this station Monday through Friday. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to thank all of you who are partners with this ministry. You know, we are sharing things that are changing people's lives. We are having a huge response. We have over 35,000 contacts per month, and that's not including our website, which averages over 15,000 contacts per day. We're reaching a lot of people. People's lives are being changed, and I couldn't do that if it wasn't for those of you who are partners with us. So I want to thank you. And I just want to mention to the rest of you, if you are being blessed, if you recognize the potential blessing that this could be to other people, would you help us to reach out with the gospel? We need to increase our outreach. We've got opportunities, more opportunities, and we've got finances. So pray about it and then become a partner with us today.